Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Red Friday. It's Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing the show. In for Cody today is Logan Weber. He'll be in on Monday as well. That means, as we promised earlier in the week, we move some stuff around. Normally, Professor Tapp would be on Thursday. Bink was in yesterday. People said we'd rather do Snitch Line Thursday and Professor Weber on Friday. So here we are, and it's perfect because you're a substitute teacher. So we'll have Professor Weber. I have no idea what your lesson is. I tried to tell you anything that's not sports, basically, you can go for it. And that'll be around 10:45 or so. We'll get to that. We'll find out what Professor Weber has up his sleeve. We're also about a half hour away from heading out to Denver and getting their side of things on this game Sunday. Nick Ferguson, former Denver Broncos safety. We've had him on, I feel like once a year for the last 3 or 4 years or so. I was on his show last night there in Denver. Want to get a player perspective from the Denver side. How are they feeling in Broncos country about one of the biggest games of the season, one of the best games in the Week 11 slate. And then a little bit later on, Josh Briscoe going to join us. You guys know he'll be on 3 hours before kickoff Sunday right here on 96.5 The Fan. And then Matt McMullen also going to join us from the Chiefs. So jam-packed, not to mention a fan club Friday. We've got a new cocktail to try thanks to Jay Rieger in the 1 o'clock hour, a Stone Fence cocktail. Warning, I'm the one making it today. But I think I got it. It seems very simple. A little Rieger straight rye, some apple cider, some ginger ale. I think I got it. I think I'll be okay. Dana Wright going to join us in studio for Fan Club Friday today. But let's get right into it. You guys can text into the show, as always, on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running, YouTube, Facebook, X, Twitch. Make sure you subscribe so you do not miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. It is a Red Friday, and it is a big one. And, of course, coming off a bye week, I'm just curious what everybody's confidence level is at, truly, on a scale of 1 to 10 right now. Let's check in here. How are the vibes? How's everybody feeling? Because I think last Thursday's game that we saw the Broncos play the Raiders, I don't think we should act like that's just who the Broncos are. However, I get it. That's the lasting impression we have. And the lasting impression we have on the Chiefs was that bad performance against Buffalo, Logan, and a 28-21 loss. So where's your confidence scale? For me, I'm around an 8. I really am heading into this game based off of still who I think the better football team is when they're at their best. And I expect the Chiefs' best out of the bye week.
Yeah, I'm sitting somewhere between a 6 and a 7 because I agree with you. I think the Chiefs are the better football team. I think that having the bye, even from a game planning standpoint, is important, but even more so just an added week to let guys get healthy. I mean, there have been so many injury issues along the offensive line the last couple of weeks, plus you got Josh Simmons back in the fold. I think all of that is important. I'm not quite at the level that you are at an 8, because we've seen in close games this year, and I anticipate this being another close game, these are two very different football teams. the Denver Broncos have been able to take advantage in close games late in the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. And the Chiefs, it really feels like these two teams have flipped. The Denver Broncos last year were one of the worst fourth quarter teams in football, and it kind of stymied their chances of success. Meanwhile, the Chiefs were historically the best team in one score games in NFL history.
Right.
And now it's the complete polar opposite. The Chiefs, when it comes time for those close games, haven't been able to close the door or open the door for themselves. The Broncos have been incredibly efficient at that so far this year.
We're going to ask Nick Ferguson this here in 25 minutes, but I get the sense talking to two people on their shows yesterday in Denver that the stuff we're saying about Bo Nix and the Broncos, like half of Broncos country is feeling the same way. Like this is not one of those like where Chiefs fans are like trying to cope through it and Broncos fans are like, no, you're just being haters. There are plenty of Broncos fans that are very skeptical still about their offense and about Bo Nix. And, you know, I think for Kansas City, the reason why, if you're wondering why is on a scale of, you know, 1 to 10, my confidence at 8 going into this game, there's the bye week factor, the self-scouting factor, but also, you know, if we all are considering this one of the biggest games in the last 5 to 7 years in the regular season, in the Mahomes era, considering what's at stake, these are usually games that we talk about postseason-wise, where Andy's at his best, Mahomes at his best, Travis Kelce's at his best. I think that same kind of thing is happening or will happen on Sunday, because I think, while from the outside, and Andy once again will talk at 1 o'clock, and we'll briefly carry that. Thank you, Dusty, for walking in randomly. He said, go Chiefs. You're right, go Chiefs. 4 hours wasn't enough earlier. But basically, I think, you know, that's the mindset that they have, even if publicly Andy's going to say, you know, that's no different than any other week kind of thing. They're all well aware where they're at. You mentioned the fourth quarter stuff, and I do think that is interesting. Look, it goes without saying, you, of course, want to be leading the game heading in the fourth, duh, versus trailing. But I do think, given what the Broncos have done this year, it maybe is more important than even when you faced Buffalo while you lost the game, or earlier in the year, Detroit, or whoever, that you have a fourth quarter lead if you're Kansas City going in. Because here's why. The Broncos have the highest point differential in the fourth quarter. They're plus 60. A lot of that is the comeback against the Giants.
Right.
Yardage, if you care about that, they have more than 400 yards more than their opponent. And sack differential, we know you've mentioned this all week, the gap between the Broncos as the best sack team and the next is what, 12, 16?
14.
14, yeah. Right in the middle, of course, figures. 10 in the fourth quarter is their sack differential. And the Broncos are 4-0 in those games in which they trailed in the fourth quarter. So their best football is the fourth quarter. I feel like if you're Kansas City, you cannot be trailing going into the fourth.
No, not with those sack numbers you mentioned. Because if you're down in the fourth quarter, that typically shows an opposing defense, we're going to drop back and we're going to throw the football, especially if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, because the running game has been, let's call it, stagnant at best throughout the course of the year. Doesn't sound like, you know, Pacheco's chances are great to play on Sunday. So I think that a fourth quarter lead is massive in terms of what the playbook looks like. When you're up by 7 points or 10 points going into the fourth quarter of a game, you are more than comfortable doing whatever you'd like on offense. You know, if you're down by 7 or 10 points, okay, you have to put the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands, and that allows for the defensive line to pin their ears back instead of on a second and long or a third and long play, first down, second down, third down, throughout the course of a drive, throughout the course of an entire quarter, where they don't have to worry about rush lanes or things of that nature, right? It's about getting to the quarterback, keeping Mahomes contained within the pocket, and generating pass rush, generating quarterback hits and pressures and sacks. And I think that's maybe the biggest factor in why a great start through the first three quarters is going to be a major key, because it doesn't allow you to become one dimensional by using the passing game to try to get back into a football game. You can continue to use your passing attack, but more so you can infuse your running game into it as a way to utilize clock management.
913-586-7965. We'll ask you. I see some texts coming in where you guys are at. A lot of you say an 8 or 9. Someone said 9.5. Someone went ahead and said they're 7.5 or so right now on the confidence scale. Of course, a lot of 6-7s coming in, as I expected.
I didn't think about that
on the text line. But what's the biggest concern? Because I think on one hand, you can say, hey, the Chiefs have shown they cannot get after a quarterback. On the other hand, you say what you were just discussing, which is, you know, that the Broncos are going to get after you. And I think it is still more about the Chiefs O-line holding up than it is this Chiefs defensive line or Steve Spagnuolo coming up with some grand plan to get after Bo Nix. I'm just plain and simple, I'm not impressed by Bo Nix. So to me, yeah, I would like to get after him, but I don't think Bo Nix is going to just carve you up the way some other quarterbacks will if you don't get pressure and you allow him to have time in the pocket. Whereas if the Broncos make life hell for Juwan Taylor and Josh Simmons, if it's him or Jalen Moore, we don't know. We still don't know who's going to be the left tackle on Sunday. We may not know later on today. We have to wait till Sunday. But if the Chiefs cannot protect Patrick Mahomes, we all know what happens. It's the backyard football stuff, which, you know, when it's one-offs, that's fine. It's fun. Those are the highlight stuff. When it is just for survival, that's when it is obviously a mess for this football team and they're not winning that game. And so that's my biggest concern. I think it's probably most people's concern. Protecting Patrick Mahomes, allowing the offense to operate. As much as we don't like seeing them not get pressure on the quarterback and it's frustrating to watch, You to me, in this game, you can get by still, even if Bo Nix has some time. You cannot win this game if Nick Benito and Zach Allen and that entire defensive front are getting after Patrick Mahomes consistently.
No question about it, because you look at the way that Mahomes played in that Buffalo Bills game 2 weeks ago. You know, I think that it's fair to say it was probably his worst start of the year. And a lot of that was because of the pressure that was going at him. You know, I think of over 50% of his dropbacks, he was pressured, hit, or sacked. And so you look at the flip side for Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos, they actually have arguably the best offensive line unit in the NFL so far this year. Bo Nix has only been sacked twice in the last two games, against Vegas and against Houston. Despite that, the guy's barely completing 50% of his passes. He's thrown three touchdowns and three picks. So we've seen Bo Nix, even with a clean pocket, even with little to no pressure in his face, make mistakes. And this Chiefs secondary is as good a unit as there is in the National Football League. I would say it's a better unit than the Las Vegas Raiders have, and he still threw two picks last week against the Raiders. So I completely agree with you. Pressure against Mahomes versus pressure against Bo Nix is so much more of a net positive for the Broncos than it would be for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll head out to Denver. Nick Ferguson, former Denver Broncos safety, does radio over on KOA 94.1 FM and 850 AM. We'll get the Broncos' perspective on that. Also, Josh Briscoe at 11 o'clock. So those are just an early check-in on confidence. And it's funny, we've done these, you know, anytime there's a big game, and by the time we get to the 1 o'clock hour, sometimes the text changed drastically. Not only different people listening, but I think as you get closer to kickoff, people get more nervous. Sunday morning, all of a sudden, people get a little more nervous, depending on where things are at. But the text line, I would say it's a mixed bag right now. A lot of people mentioning a topic we discussed yesterday, which is, you know, run the ball under center. We did a whole thing on that and where the Chiefs stack up. And the five teams that go under center the most in the NFL are all considered Super Bowl contenders, and the Chiefs are in, you know, in the bottom five. But this is, I said it on my betting show, you know, two nights ago, I guess it's been at this point. I do think it's the biggest game, not only of the season, but you can make a case that this is the biggest game since the Chiefs have been in the middle of this dynasty. And that is not that they haven't had a game in which they've needed it to clinch a division. Not that they haven't had a game to win, you know, in December to keep the Chargers at bay. We all remember, I think it was 2021, late December, Kelce walk-off overtime touchdown and all that. That's the last time it felt like there was a regular season divisional game that had this kind of juice. But at the same time, that as bad as that was, they weren't in danger of missing the playoffs with a loss. That game, I went back and looked. That game, the Chiefs with the win got to 10-4. So they were a 9-4 team. They would have lost that game. They would have been 9-5. The playoffs would not be in jeopardy.
Yeah.
This game is the biggest game because not only does it keep you alive with a win in the division, but if you lose, you are 5-5 with the Colts coming to town next week. And there has to be on Monday and Tuesday of next week, real conversation about, hey, what's it look like for them to just make sure they get in the dance? The talk of making the postseason becomes real. They win, it's a completely different feeling, but that's why I think this is the biggest. They have not had games where we're talking about making or missing the playoffs potentially, let alone having a 9+ year run in the division come to an end.
Oh, yes. Without question, this is the biggest game that the Chiefs have had since Patrick Mahomes became the quarterback in terms of regular season goals and your ability to make the postseason. I mean, you're exactly right. A loss on Sunday puts you at 5-5. If you believe that 10 wins is going to be enough to make the postseason in the AFC, that means you have to win 5 of your last 7 games. That includes another matchup against the Chargers. That includes another matchup against the Broncos. So I look at this from the perspective of, yeah, the division, but that's more of a back burner discussion in my view, because you're still going to need help. Even if you beat the Broncos Sunday, you're still going to need help to win the division.
If the Chiefs win this game on Sunday, do you think they're winning the division, though? Because I have the feeling it's one of those games where I know it mathematically it doesn't guarantee them.
Right.
But I'm just saying, if they go on the road to Denver post-bye and look great and get a win, I don't know about you, like I think they end up winning this division. It's one of those where it just tells me a lot about this football team.
Yeah, if it's a big time statement sort of win, the Chiefs come out and win this game 31-17 or 34-17, and they really wreaked havoc on Bo Nix and made this defense look pedestrian, the level of confidence that it will not only give Chiefs fans, but this team and in this locker room could certainly add to that. I would say if this is an ugly win, the Chiefs come out and they win a 21-18 slugfest that involves 6 made field goals in the game or whatever, then maybe not so much. I would say, like, in terms of a percentage, if the Chiefs win this game in dominant fashion, they control it for 60 minutes, I would lean like 65-35. The Chiefs win the division.
Okay.
If it's ugly, it probably sits at right around 55-45.
So right now, just the odds, as it currently sits, the Chiefs are plus 155 to win the division, the Broncos plus 125. If this is from Warren Sharp, if Kansas City beats Denver in their simulations in this week on Sunday, the Chiefs would go to a 51% chance to win the AFC West. Denver would drop to a 37% chance. They, of course, have the return meeting in Kansas City. The Chargers would be sitting at 11. If Kansas City loses, you're probably not surprised by the numbers I'm about to tell you, Denver goes to an 82% chance to win the West. The Chiefs fall to 9%. The Chargers go down as well. They go to 9%. Because to me, it's fairly simple. If the Broncos win, not only are the Chiefs done in the division, but to me, the Broncos are winning this division. I don't think the Chargers are that good of a football team. The injuries have caught up to them. If the Chiefs win, I think the Chiefs should have, and they would have, better odds than the LA Chargers. And I would think they should have better odds than the Broncos. The Chiefs would have 6 wins. The Broncos would have 8. The Broncos still have a bye week, I believe, right, coming up as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, after this game.
After this game. So then the Chiefs, let's say, beat the Colts. All of a sudden, you're right there with a return trip coming to Kansas City. So it is just such a massive swing for the entire season. Narratives are one thing, but truly for the math on making the playoffs, on winning this division, keeping this 9-plus year run in the West going. And I don't know about you, like, ultimately we're talking about this year, but if you want to continue to have these bigger picture conversations about comparing the Chiefs dynasty, the Patriots dynasty, Mahomes and Brady and all that, part of that is the, what, 12-plus year run the Patriots went on in the East?
Yeah.
And that all ends on Sunday if you don't win. I don't know about you, I want to be able to keep talking about that. I want to see if the Chiefs can push that. And it would end on Sunday if they don't get the win.
Completely agree. And you talked about it this at the outset, you know, biggest game since when. I would say this is, it's bigger than, but the only game I could really compare it to is that week 10 matchup in 2021 against the Raiders.
Okay.
At the time, Vegas was coming into that game 5-3. They were the leaders in the clubhouse in the division. The Chiefs were 5-4. So I think that it doesn't quite have the same moniker around it, but if the Chiefs would have lost that game, they'd have fallen to 5-5. The Raiders would have risen to 6-3, and you would have been playing a lot of catch up. They ended up winning that game in blowout fashion, 41-14. That was the year that they outscored the Raiders like 100-25 over those two games. But I think that that's really the only game that I look at middle to later portion of the year where a loss really sets you back in terms of the division race. It wasn't an end-all be-all thing. I think the Chiefs still would have made the playoffs and without question, but I think that it's really hard to find one because I don't think there is an accurate comparison in Mahomes' tenure.
That game you bring up, the one I mentioned in 2021, the Chiefs-Chargers late season game, the overtime walk-off and all that for the Chiefs, those are also two examples where, once again, those teams had a chance to completely change the narrative to prove that, you know, they're in control. And here we are again. It's another opportunity. And you know, if you're waiting to find out, is this year any different? This is also a game for that. That's why it's just so massive in the swing, because if the Broncos lose, it's the bigger picture stuff again. It's like, yet again, nope, the Chiefs are not dead. This division is still theirs, in my opinion. All of that is there versus the reason why I'm calling it a validation game for the Broncos. If they win, we have to start looking at Denver a whole lot differently this year and even beyond this year. And especially if Bo Nix were to play great in the game. And we would have to start discussing, like, hey, this is the end of the run in the AFC West and all that. And there have been multiple times, probably two or three instances, we decided two of them, where that was an opportunity either the Chargers had, the Raiders had. And this is the first time the Broncos have really had it. Mm-hmm. Because the Chiefs have, other than, you know, week 18 last year, essentially have just dominated them for a decade.
Which Broncos, you know, fans have somehow taken to social media to really, really hype up. Like, remember the last time the Broncos 18? Played the Chiefs, yeah. Really?
I think that's more of a troll thing. I hope they're not that serious, but I'm guessing that's just more of a troll thing. But I'm just saying there's been these type of moments, and none of the other times were these teams able to cement it and kick the king, you know, knock the king down. Same opportunity on Sunday. And I think they're going to whiff again. I do. We'll give our official game predictions a little bit later on in the 1 o'clock hour today. We'll also take your predictions, some of your best bets, and everything like that. But coming up in 10 minutes, we will go out to Denver and check in with Nick Ferguson. Thinking of bets, I saw the NFL yesterday with all the betting scandals that are out there. The NFL sent out a memo to teams. Tom Pelissero put out the screenshot of the memo saying, in light of the recent gambling scandals, the league has worked with lawmakers, regulators, and sports betting partners in recent weeks to limit and, where possible, prohibit prop bets in the NFL. You guys remember on Monday, I think it was, or Tuesday, Major League Baseball came out and said they were working with their partners to have a $200 limit on those micro bets, right? The strike ball type bets, the velocity type of bets. And so in this memo, it mentions some things that, I'll be honest, are already not legal to bet. And then there's some things that make sense. So for example, they are going to prohibit wager categories determinable by one person in one play, right? Makes sense. So a kicker to miss a field goal attempt. Now that is a bet that you have been able to make, like, you know, over under certain field goals, make or miss field goal, that exists. Now, some of these other ones, I don't know what they're talking about, because unless you're betting offshore, you can never bet these. You know, like there's a couple talking about wagers on injury related markets, player injuries, fan safety, misconduct, officiating assignments, replay. You've never been able to make a bet like, will there be a challenge used in this game? Not in a legal market, maybe right. Offshore. So I thought that was interesting, but these, it's a weird balance. The NFL, I think so much of this is optics, the same reason why baseball had to do it. There's not much you can do to truly flat out prevent if somebody wants to make a wager on an under for a player on a make or miss field goal in this case. You can go to your offshore accounts to do that. But what's weird is the NFL, who is talking so much about, you know, the integrity of the sport and getting things right and all that, yet they know they have a massive officiating problem, and yet there's not much that has been done with that.
No, not at all. And you're exactly right. It is entirely about optics. It's about public perception with, hey, you know, we can't really do anything about this right now, but, you know, at least we're covering our bases, right? Where if some big scandal hits and they're like, what was the NFL doing? Why didn't the NFL do anything to stop this? Well, Roger Goodell and those at the head of the NFL can say, well, you know, these are the things that we did. We said that these things were illegal and these couldn't be done. And we sent out these memos and we talked with players and coaches and officials and we did all these things. And even that couldn't prevent it. Yeah, it's just completely and utterly a way for them to save face. And not that that's a bad thing, right? I mean, they are trying to do something. And if this memo even gets one person to think twice before doing something foolish, then it served its purpose. Is it going to have an overreaching effect? Not even a little bit.
Yeah, it's just, it is more just reinforcing stuff. Because again, it mentions that predetermined outcomes are prohibited directly related to on-field competition. Will quarterback blank start this week? Will team's first play from scrimmage be a run or pass? So, will quarterback start or not has never been a bet you can make in a legal betting market. Now, the micro bet exists. You could, I don't know, maybe be different this weekend. It sounds like it will. You could always make a bet on a live, will this next play be an incomplete pass or not? And that's maybe the markets where they want to limit. I think the solution for a lot of this is just limiting the dollar amount on the bet. Not so much even getting rid of the bet. While they can be manipulated, but it's the dollar amount that's gotten all this in trouble. I mean, if you were only able to bet they're doing a $200 limit, so I'll just keep, baseball is for some of their prop bets, so I'll say that for football. If it was only a $200 limit, then a lot of this stuff we're talking about probably wouldn't be happening. The FBI wouldn't be involved if we're talking about $100 or $200 versus, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars or $20,000 at a time,
yeah,
kind of stuff. Some of those bets not having any limits were part of the issue, I think.
No question. I mean, you think about the biggest scandals in sports betting in history, it's been these massive dollar amounts where an individual or a group of individuals got in contact with a player or a coach, and these massive dollar amounts were what ultimately convinced these players to do these things. You know, the Black Sox scandal 100 plus years ago, and the what was it, Javonte? The Porter kid.
Jonte Porter.
Thank you. So I think that with those massive dollar amounts being limited, it definitely, I would say, lessens the scope towards players being contacted by outside sources and these some would say shady characters that can dupe these individuals into doing things like this, because they're not being able to be like, hey, you know, I'm going to go to this NFL quarterback and say, hey, can you throw an incomplete pass on this play? And, you know, I'll put $1 million on it and you'll get half. That doesn't really hit the same when that same individual goes to a quarterback and says, hey, if you throw this incomplete pass, I can put $200 on it and I'll give you $80. Doesn't really work.
You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. This Sunday, stream the Chiefs at the Broncos live at 3:25. Then stay for the premiere of the new season of the hit original series Landman, all on Paramount Plus. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Up next, we go out to Denver. Nick Ferguson, former Denver Broncos safety, going to join us to give the Broncos perspective on what they have to do to end perhaps the Chiefs run.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The AFC West. We're just getting started on a red Friday in Kansas City. Beautiful weather in KC. The Chiefs getting set to head out to Denver. We're going to head out there in just a minute to be joined by our next guest. Professor Weber's coming up also. I can't wait for this because I don't know where we're going, what the lesson is today. with Professor Tapp out due to surgery. He'll be back next Wednesday. But Professor Weber, who's actually a substitute teacher in the area, so
that's correct.
He says he has a lesson. We will all learn that together. But let's keep talking Chiefs Broncos. We welcome in Nick Ferguson, former Denver Broncos safety. You can hear him on the radio in Denver over on KOA 94.1 FM and 850 AM. Also does great content on his social media channels. Nick, good to have you back on the show, man. This is a little bit different feel than when we've had you on the last couple of years. I mean, this is it's what we've said. It's one of the biggest games in the Chiefs dynasty era and the Chiefs Mahomes era.
It's interesting because typically when we come on, it's always, okay, well, the Broncos are somewhat the underdog in this. And I know when you look around the league, everyone's giving the Chiefs a fighting chance, but this is kind of the first time that we've ever had this conversation. And the Chiefs find themselves on the precipice of not winning the AFC West. That's very interesting.
No doubt. It's presented a different way to kind of discuss this game. Now, what's the feeling in Denver? Because I think from our side, we look at the Broncos and it's kind of one of those games where, like, all right, kind of prove it to me that you're ready to end this run, that Bo Nix is going to step up in a spot like this. Otherwise, if the Broncos lose, it's kind of, all right, same old story. At least that's how I view it.
Well, yeah, that is true, but the thing that kind of tips the scales in the Broncos' favor isn't the offense. And now everyone loves in this league to talk about the offense and offensive coordinator, but it's about the Broncos' defense. The Broncos are 8-2, not because of their offense, but in spite of their offense, and it's because of their defense. And I'll let you in on a little secret that I've been talking about this Broncos team. And, you know, people love to give, you know, defensive groups names, but I've coined the Broncos defense MacGyver. And the reason I call them MacGyver, if you remember the 90s show on CBS, MacGyver was just like Batman without a mask, but he had all these fancy toys like a paperclip and a piece of gum, and he could make a rocket launcher. And the biggest thing about MacGyver was he comes through when you need him the most, and that's exactly what Vance Joseph defense has done all season long. So the Broncos and his fan base, man, they are so excited about what they can do on Sunday against the Chiefs, but it's more or less about the defense opposed to the offense.
You know, Nick, I kind of like that comparison, MacGyver, especially when it comes to that Broncos defensive line, because, I mean, they've got five guys on this team with at least 3.5 sacks and 9 with at least 2. It seems like this defense, Vance Joseph's unit, can come at you from anywhere. What makes this team so special when it comes to getting to the quarterback, regardless of seemingly who is out there at any time?
Well, he talked about it yesterday, and it's an unselfish play. And I told him myself, I say, seldom do you see guys willing to sacrifice sacks, which is, sacks are incentives, and that's money that you're taking out of your pocket to give to your buddies, but it's a lot of unselfish play, and they want to see their fellow defensive player celebrate and have success. And I know that's what we think all players want to do, and I'm telling you, as a former player, no, it's not. So to see the defense playing in this way where they want to root for the guy next to him, I mean, truly mean that. That is why that we're seeing the defense play the way that they're playing, and also with additions of Talanoa Hufanga coming over from San Francisco. That guy is by far one of the better safeties that the Broncos have had around here in a while, because he is what I consider to be an eraser. Well, you bring him down in the box, he can blitz from anywhere. He's great at all open field tackles, and he's a physical safety. So there's so many guys that are really buying into what Vance Joseph has sold.
We're talking to former Broncos safety Nick Ferguson here on 96.5 The Fan. Where is there any vulnerability defensively? Like, where can the Chiefs have some success, though, perhaps?
Well, you know what? It's shots down the field, because we've seen this season Riley Moss has been attacked on the corners. Obviously, there's no PS2 in this game. And, you know, I like Riley Moss. Sometimes he gets himself in trouble at the line of scrimmage, but we've all been in that situation as far as with our footwork. But it is tacking them down the field. Like I said, no PS2. You have Riley Moss and Chris Abrams drain. So there's going to be some opportunities. And, I mean, I don't have to tell you, that track team that you guys have with the receivers that you have, it makes it really difficult for anyone to really defend. But that is, if there's one place to attack the Broncos defense, it is on the corners.
So looking at the other side of the football, Nick, you know, the Broncos defense deserves all the credit in the world. This Broncos offense, though, has at times looked fantastic, and other times it's been a little bit slower. The last couple of weeks are on that end of the spectrum. You know, with Bo Nix at the quarterback position struggling the last few weeks, J.K. Dobbins, who knows what his availability is going to be on Sunday. What is it going to take for the Broncos to have success against the Chiefs defense and vice versa in your view?
Well, it's consistency, and it always goes back to starting fast. And for me, starting fast is setting up the run, really leaning on the run. And I know the Chiefs have done a good job this season, you know, kind of stalling teams when teams try to run the ball. But you need balance, man. You have to at least make the Spagnuolo defense think that you're going to run the ball at least 20 times a game, because if you don't, now you give Spags an opportunity to blitz, move Chris Jones around, create the matchups you want to, and now put a lot of pressure on Bo Nix. And we've seen pressure be a problem for the Broncos starting at the beginning of the season with the Titans. So Sean Payton is going to have to come out with one hell of a game plan, but that means the offense is going to have to execute and not have drive killers as they've had over the season with penalties.
Is there a player offensively that maybe those of us in Kansas City are just completely dismissing, not talking about? I mean, we know about Dobbins. I think we know about Cortland Sutton, but is there somebody else that you think could be, I guess, a little bit of an X factor here for the Broncos on Sunday?
Well, there are two guys, Troy Franklin, who he was really criticized last year, but he seemed to be involved more in this offense. And I think he has more yards right now than Cortland Sutton. And then Pat Bryant, the team drafted him, and he is a physical guy who loves to block at the point of attack. He's another guy who is developing as a possession receiver for the team. Now, he doesn't have a lot of gaudy numbers, but he is one of those guys, young guys, who understands the game, and he kind of fights and strains to get open. So those two young receivers are two guys, in my opinion, that no one's really talking about and looking at in that particular way that could be major factors in the game on Sunday.
I think one of the more unsung parts of this 8-2 start for the Denver Broncos has actually been this offensive line. It is graded out as one of the best units in football, no matter what metrics it is that you're looking at. And despite that, there's not really like a marquee name, I guess you could say, along this Broncos offensive line. So what is it about those five guys up front that allows them to be so successful as a unit when none of them are massive individuals when you talk about the best offensive linemen in the NFL?
Well, that's just it. It's being great as a unit. And you guys know this. Those offensive linemen, they work well when they've had time to work with one another and work alongside one another. That's how you build that chemistry and continuity. And, I mean, Ben Powers is the only guy that's been injured. Other than that, I mean, these guys have been together for a period of time, and that builds a lot of confidence. Now, here's something else that actually assists with the offensive line not giving up a lot of sacks, but this is also at the same time, you can praise the offensive line, but you criticize the quarterback at the same time. And what I mean by that is Bo Nix has come under a lot of fire locally and nationally because they say, well, he loves to bail and retreat on plays and get outside the pocket. It is his mobility and athleticism that has allowed him to do that, but that also has kept down the sack total by the offensive line. So it's like kind of pick your poison. You can say and praise the offensive line for not really giving up sacks, but you also have to tip your cap to Bo Nix because his ability to scramble and get on the perimeter has also helped out with that stat too as well.
A couple more minutes with Nick Ferguson, former Denver Broncos safety, joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. How are people talking about the Chiefs in Denver? Like, do you guys view the Chiefs as extremely vulnerable? Like, this is the year to get them. What's the feeling, I guess, even confidence heading into Sunday?
Well, there's two schools of thought. It's like, okay, well, this is an opportunity for the Broncos to finally stomp out their division rival and submit themselves as maybe AFC West title contenders. But also, from my standpoint, it's a little scary. And the reason I say that's a little scary is because Kansas City over the years have found different ways to win. Before it was with their offense. Now it's with their defense. We all know the record of Andy Reid coming off the bye, but now you find the Chiefs in a situation, from my estimation, that we've never seen them in. They've lost to the Jags, the Chargers, and the Bills, and they're on the verge of not being in that conversation as far as winning the AFC West. And for me, like a possum backed in the corner, they're dangerous right now. So we can see almost anything on Sunday because this team is in desperation mode, and we've never seen them in that place before. But for the other Broncos fans, they were like, okay, well, we're going to strike while the iron is hot. This is the prime time to knock the Chiefs over. And I'm like, man, pump your brakes. This still is a dangerous team because right now they're in desperation mode.
If the Broncos win Sunday, if that happens, I think the Broncos are winning this division. Is that also kind of the thought? You mentioned it's a little scary, but if the Broncos win, I mean, I think they are better than the Chargers. They would at that point approve that, you know, they're better than Kansas City. Do you think the Broncos, is it that simple? They win on Sunday, you feel, and people there feel they win this division?
No, it's not that simple because it comes down to this for me, guys. How is it that the Broncos win? We just talked about the Broncos struggles, and they've struggled, and you know, we like week 10, week 11, and we haven't really seen any daylight at the end of the tunnel. So if you tell me on Sunday the Broncos win, which I'm predicting the Broncos are going to win, but the Broncos do it because now their offense has finally come alive, now we can really have that conversation. But if it's one of those games where it's kind of a defensive type of game and it's who can kick the game-winning field goal, is it going to be your kicker or is it going to be Will Lutz, then to me it's still up in the air as far as where this team can actually get if they're trying to lean on their offense.
Nick, appreciate it as always, man. Enjoy the game. And my guess is we'll be talking again here in about a month and a half or whatever it is.
Yes, we will. We will talk right before the game on Christmas.
That's true. It is Christmas night. I forgot about that. Thanks, Nick.
All right, appreciate you guys.
There you go. Nick Ferguson, former Denver Broncos safety. You can hear him on the radio out in Denver on KOA 94.1 FM, 850 AM. Always good to get his perspective on the Denver Broncos heading in. Yeah, I hear what he's saying. So it's kind of how in the past we've talked about the Chiefs, like, in what way do they win, like, to make you feel good? If, look, standings-wise, just find a way to win. But I get what he's saying, which is, did they win because the offense unlocked something, or did they win because the Chiefs' offense didn't do anything and the Broncos were just dominant on defense? And, well, yeah, find a way to win, right? I think what you were saying to start the show, you know, I'm looking at this Chiefs game. As much as I would love them to go in there and just dominate and everything to look great, I just need a win.
Like, yeah.
But I get it on their side. They're in a little bit different spot now. But for the Chiefs, when you're 5-4, just, I don't care if they win 13-12 or they win 45-44. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter to me. Just, they have to find a way to win this game on Sunday to stay alive in the West.
No question. No question. That's the biggest goal of this whole thing. Yeah, would everybody love to see it be this win in dominant blowout fashion and kill the confidence level of the Denver Broncos and rise theirs to a level that we haven't seen so far this season? Absolutely. At the end of the day, all that matters is that there's a W next to that game in the column and not an L. That's it. And the Chiefs have been very, very good at adopting that philosophy over the last few seasons of, you know, and I hate to use an adage from a Raiders person, but the Al Davis just win, baby. That's it. And this year, it hasn't necessarily felt that way. This team hasn't been winning those close games. They've been winning games in blowout fashion. So it would also be nice to just see them win a close game, a scratch and claw and fight your way through it sort of game that you come out on the winning side of, to kind of increase your confidence level in those big time moments, because they've been so good at it in the past. This year's just been a little slow.
It does feel like, even like with Nick in his description of things, that they're trying to convince themselves that they can win the Super Bowl, because I think even with the defense that they have, obviously the Chiefs are still favorites, but many, we even went through them a couple of days ago, our Super Bowl picks. Yeah. None of us said Denver.
So, and I don't, right this second, I don't consider them a Super Bowl contender. Yeah.
Where I think they're trying to convince themselves, if the offense can win them a game, then okay, maybe they can put it together and make a run. Where, as you said, for the Chiefs, they're trying to just win a game to prevent a freak out from everybody of, hey, not only is it 5-5, but we're also out of the playoff picture and we're getting down to it where we're past the halfway point of the season.
Yeah, people liked Nick's line when he said, like a possum backed into a corner. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Hey, coming up in 15 minutes, Josh Briscoe going to join us. He'll be on the air, don't forget, Sunday, 3 hours before kickoff, hosting Chiefs pre and then, of course, post on the Chiefs radio network right here on 96.5 The Fan. But it is that time, normally on a Thursday, but we wanted to wait until our substitute teacher could provide us with a little lesson, I guess.
Welcome to the classroom. Whether it's cooking lessons, singing lessons, or how to commit a heist, this guy wants to teach you what he knows. Well, what he thinks he knows. It's not Cody to you. It's Professor Tapp.
Well, Professor Tapp, of course, is still recovering from surgery. He'll be back on Wednesday. All is good on that front. We had Professor Bink a few weeks ago. We wanted to give you a chance, Logan. You actually are. What grades do you normally sub?
So it kind of fluctuates. Right. I've done elementary school, middle school, high school, but I have to say that I probably lean more towards the high school kids.
Okay. All right. The floor is yours.
All right. Well, you know, when it comes to decorations for Christmas, or just decorating in general for Christmas, right? There's a lot of controversy. There's a lot of hubbub about when you should hang Christmas lights. That's not necessarily the lesson here, but I will say, I believe you can hang Christmas lights November 1st. You can put your Christmas decorations out already. I would say put them out sooner. This coming from a certified Halloween hater in this guy right here. But
wait, you're also a Halloween hater?
I do not like Halloween at all. Never
you
been a Halloween
you
fan.
Bink. What is going on?
Is there a reason behind it? I'm curious what your reason
is. I don't like horror movies.
Okay.
Like, it's just not, they're just not something that I enjoy necessarily. Mm-hmm. And as you become an adult, you begin to realize more and more just how, like, dangerous Halloween can be for adults. Like,
I'm not following.
The levels of crime on Halloween.
What? Yeah. What are you doing on Halloween? What do you mean?
Nothing. Not me.
It's not the purge.
That's not what I'm saying, but like, things happen on Halloween that wouldn't normally happen other days of the year.
As an adult, you start to realize how dangerous Halloween is
for adults.
I'm not following. I'm really not. Professor, I'm confused.
We need a new lesson. Teach us why Halloween is so,
oh my God.
So destructive here.
Yeah. Well, you know, firstly, people wear costumes and things that they don't normally wear on Halloween.
Right.
So the level of things, you know, in terms of females, those crimes against females tend to rise exponentially
Halloween. Is there data to back that up?
There is.
Okay. All right.
There is, unfortunately. So that's one thing that, like, as I've gotten, you know, and like, as I've gotten to be an adult and realize that, like, my wife, you know, when my wife wants to go do something for Halloween, I get a little bit nervous.
I thought you were trying
my
to
younger
say people,
sister.
I thought you were like trying to make the case that like people like at the text line have said the razor blades and the Tootsie
I'm not
Pops
saying,
or something,
like, not
you know?
For, I
my
mean,
goodness.
I'm not saying like in terms of children crimes, that's not necessarily where I'm going with it, but.
All right. I'll let you get back to your normal lesson. Right. Otherwise, I'm going to drop out of the class.
Okay. Yeah. So thank God. I'm going to teach you a little bit about hanging Christmas lights. So my wife and I, a couple weeks ago, we put Christmas lights up at my parents' house. We're going to be doing it again this weekend. And there is a more efficient way to do it. There is a very, very efficient way to hang Christmas lights. Firstly, you're going to need a couple of ladders, at least two. Helps if you have a little bit more than that. You need a walk board. What a walk board is basically a metal sheet.
Uh-huh.
It usually can hold somewhere between 300 to 500 pounds. And you will just mark that across the two ladders. So you'll set the ladder up on the side of your house, front of your house, wherever, right? Make sure that they're sturdy. And you put that walk board across it. That allows for you to not have to move the ladder every 8 feet in order to get your Christmas lights up. Second thing I'll recommend, get year-round Christmas lights. They make them now. They're not overly expensive.
You just leave them on the house year-round?
Exactly.
And
you can, it's controlled by an app on your phone, so you can change the color of the lights, no matter what the situation calls for. So you can make them, you can hang them right now, and they can be red and yellow or orange and yellow right now for fall. You can put them as red and yellow for Chiefs games, or if you're a Mizzou fan or KU fan, whatever, right? But they're there all year long. You have to hang them once, and you leave them alone. But the ones that we have in particular, and I think most year-round Christmas lights have this, They have a couple of options at your disposal. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand, and the text line's correct on this. Isn't the most efficient way just to pay somebody to hang the lights?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Sure, yeah. If you've got that sort of money at your disposal, absolutely. Unfortunately for some of us that just bought their first house eight months ago.
You sound like someone that's about to hang Christmas lights this weekend, and you're dreading it.
I'm not entirely looking forward to it.
Is that happening this weekend?
Yes.
This
afternoon into tomorrow, we're hanging Christmas lights. Okay. Yes.
I have a question, Professor. Do you, when you're hanging Christmas lights, do you like have your AirPods in? Are you listening to Christmas music as you're doing this to try to get in the spirit of Christmas?
Boy, that's not the worst idea I've heard. I got a little outdoor speaker. We were listening to some music a couple of weeks ago, but it was sort of my dad's, you know, middle-aged man music. It was a lot of like 80s and 90s hard rock and things like that. Not a terrible idea. That's what we've been doing all week inside the house this week, is putting the Christmas decorations in the house with Alexa, getting us into the spirit of the holidays with a little Christmas music. So yeah, maybe a little outdoor symphony wouldn't be a terrible idea.
I think it just gets you. I think it gets, even if you're not in the mood, Professor Weber, to put the lights up, it gets you in the mood. You know, you feel a little bit happier about things. Yeah,
so, absolutely.
So pay to have them hung once, and you're done for good.
Yeah,
there's companies in Kansas City.
I know.
There's somebody listening out there that runs a company.
I know a guy that paid $300 to have his Christmas lights installed on his house. Ooh. I can do it for myself for free and save that $300. That's just me personally, the guy I grew up with.
Something. So I hate to say this to you because you're about to do this tomorrow, but your fear of Halloween and something bad happening, what you're doing tomorrow is way more dangerous than anything you could do on Halloween.
Yeah, valid point. he's going to hate this story, but we had a situation like a couple weeks ago.
What?
Hanging lights at my parents' house. Dad almost, he almost bit it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He almost fell off the roof?
Oh, no, we were up on the ladder.
Okay.
So that's the thing. Like, these Christmas lights, you usually hang them along your soffit, which is, you know, that little overhang from your roof at the top of the house. So you put them up there. One of two ways to do it. You can put, like, they have little adhesive strips on the back, so you can just basically stick it to the soffit. But they also have a couple of holes to put screws in. I recommend you do both. Or you could do it like every other sort of a thing, so that way if that adhesive does wear off and a light falls, it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to cause the whole strand to go down. I don't think you necessarily have to do both for every single light. I myself will be doing that personally, but if you want to do the adhesive on one, do the screws on the next, what have you.
Okay, Professor Weber with a rough reviews.
Rough reviews
on the text line, I will say. There's a lot of people saying, I thought Bink's lesson couldn't get any worse. Someone says, Drew is always trying to put people in the mood.
Well, yeah. Like, why would you not want to be in a happy mood or a jolly mood? You know,
someone says, I'm not sure I'm taking ladder advice from Weber. His dad almost fell on a ladder.
Yeah, he did.
Someone says, I'm a manager at Costco. Just buy the Govee permanent lights at Costco. It's a game changer.
Yeah, we got the Govee lights.
You're talking to someone that has never put up lights on their house, or if I had a house, we don't obviously celebrate Christmas, so I've never done the whole light thing, so I don't know what you're talking about. I've never had to go through that process to figure it out. It seems like it could be fun. Someone else says, get Professor Tap back in immediately. Do you also have fall protection, Logan?
Fall protection? That's sometimes, yes. I mean, typically we'll have like a little belt that you can more or less latch on to the ladder. It just depends on your preference, because if the ladder goes, you're going, right? It's one of those situations. Sometimes you can actually have like a little, like a C-bolt that you can put onto your house somewhere if you're comfortable with that. Attach yourself to it, or a tree that's out behind you. That way you don't fall down. But
913-586-7965. Professor Weber, tenure denied.
I get it. I don't disagree.
Rough out there.
For the person who told me that I'm always trying to get somebody in the mood, I just got to let George Costanza explain something to you.
Oh, gosh.
You're not in the mood? Well, you get in the mood.
That's right. You get in the mood. It's Christmas time. You're not in the mood, then you get in the mood.
A lot of people say you got to wait till after Thanksgiving, Logan. They're saying you can start. Maybe I get you want to put up the lights early, but they said you got to wait till after Thanksgiving. So you'll turn yours on. You'll start turning them on this weekend.
We've already got the interior of the house Christmas decorated, or we've at least started. I'm just one of those people, man.
We have the interior of the apartment decorated. That doesn't mean that we
already?
Don't. Yeah, yes, but that doesn't mean that we don't celebrate Thanksgiving as well. Like,
he's not saying.
Like, I think that the idea that we're, I think this person texted in with the idea that we're skipping Thanksgiving. We're not skipping Thanksgiving. We're just getting the lights up a little bit early because why not?
It's just a holiday that's hard to, it's hard to decorate for. First and for like what, you're just going to have fake leaves all over your house? You know, do the pumpkins really hit the same after Halloween?
No.
In terms of the fall decor? Not really. So get the Christmas season started. The businesses are already doing it. The radio stations are already playing the music. Get involved, man. I can still celebrate Christmas and be excited about Christmas while I'm eating my Thanksgiving dinner.
All right.
Those two things can be true.
Up next, let's get back to some Chiefs football. Josh Briscoe will be hosting pregame 3 hours before kickoff on Sunday. We'll ask him about his biggest concerns for the Chiefs heading into the Denver game next.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.